Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Norbert McCloskey. McCloskey is the executive director of the Ithaca Health Alliance. He is a graduate of the University of the State of New York with a Bachelor of Science degree in liberal arts. He also completed coursework in the Master of Science degree program in interactive instructional technology at Bloomsburg University. McCloskey has participated in peer-to-peer drug and alcohol counseling and crisis intervention. He has trained and provided services as an ADHD coach, and he teaches wilderness survival skills to youth groups. He currently sits on the board of the Suicide Prevention Foundation. And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Tish, and thank you for having me on.
Yes, I'm fascinated by the Ithaca Health Alliance. Now, it's by your biography, you've participated in so many different activities and services. How did you find the Ithaca Health Alliance?
Actually, the Ithaca Health Alliance found me. My wife and I moved to Ithaca, it was 6 years ago now, coming this spring, to help our children with their children. They both work at Cornell and had gotten new positions, which was going to require them to travel, and they needed some help with the young ones. And we said we could come up for 6 months and give you a hand with this transitional period, because we are on our way headed to south. And that was 6 years ago. So I suspect at this point, we're probably not going to be leaving anytime soon.
It sounds like you might have liked the place.
Well, we've been coming to Ithaca for years. The kids have been up here for a number of years. And we've always enjoyed Ithaca. But actually living here and being able to participate in the community has given us a whole different insight on the just the wonderful and unique nature of Ithaca. It's like a place that we've never really found anywhere else.
Yeah, it is a very unique place. And, you know, the thought of an Ithaca Health Alliance and an Ithaca the clinic reminds me of the old days. I used to go to the clinic in Los Angeles, the one they had there, you know.
The clinic is going on in its 12th year now. It's an outgrowth of the Ithaca Health Alliance, which was founded back in 1997. And then had to transform itself for a variety of reasons that we won't go into here. The outgrowth of that was the Ithaca Free Clinic, where we provide basic medical care for walk-in patients who don't have health insurance. And we also provide holistic care for individuals who do not have health insurance, or perhaps their health insurance doesn't cover that particular type of healing modality.
Yeah. Now, tell us what the main mission of the Alliance is.
Well, the main mission is to provide access to health care to individuals who do not have access to that health care. And we focus on individuals who do not have health insurance. Though anyone who walks through the doors and is having difficulty accessing the health care that they need, we're going to try to help in any way that we possibly can.
Wow, that's an amazing service. Everybody seems to know the Ithaca Clinic more than the Ithaca Health Alliance, you know. To tell us a little bit about that, how it got formed and you know, what its mission mainly is.
Well, the Ithaca Health Alliance started out as a cooperative where people pooled their money and helped one another with particular types of medical emergencies. It was very successful. Then the state of New York got involved and said, well, you're not really a co-op. You're selling insurance, and that's forbidden. And so they had to look at a different model, and they moved from a membership model and transformed themselves into a standard nonprofit. And launched the Ithaca Free Clinic in 2006, and we're still going strong to this day.
Wow. That's amazing. You know what? A lot of people have said to me, why do people still need health clinics and free clinics with the Affordable Care Act and so on? How come people aren't being insured? Can you answer that?
Well, I can answer that. It can be really complicated. And you can go into all kinds of rabbit holes trying to cover this topic, but I just like to bring it back to the individual. And I start out by sharing with everyone that having health insurance doesn't necessarily mean you have the ability to access health care when you need it. Health insurance is not health care. There's a difference. And with the Affordable Care Act, there was this illusion, I call it, that now everybody would have access to health insurance that would give them access to health care. Mm. And that's really not the case. You know, once you reach, as an individual, an income level of about between $16,700 and $800 a year, you're no longer eligible for the Affordable Care Act or the expanded Medicaid package that came along with that.
Wow.
So now you go into the marketplace where you can purchase either a bronze or a silver or a gold plan. Mm-hmm. And now you're talking about paying a premium every month. You're talking about paying a pretty high deductible with each visit or copay, and then you're going to have a high deductible, sometimes as high as $5,000.
God, that's unbelievable.
So if you're earning under $17,000 a year and you have to pay $150 a month for your premium, and then you're paying a copay of $50, $60, $70 a month for every visit, and then your insurance isn't going to kick in until you hit that magic deductible level somewhere between $2,500 and $5,000, you already have potentially committed 40 to 50% of your take-home pay.
God, so we don't have health care in this country for the most part. I mean, for many people, it still hasn't been remedied.
That's absolutely correct. That is true. We probably, now these figures are a few years old, but we had up to 11 million New Yorkers that were still primarily uninsured. And even if they have health insurance with the Affordable Care Act, they may not be able to utilize that insurance because they do not have the cash flow.
Yeah.
To meet the expenses that come along with utilizing that plan.
Wow. Wow. So let's talk about the Ithaca Health Alliance. It's staffed by both volunteers and medical professionals. To tell us how they do their jobs and what their designated missions are.
Well, that is the true genius of the Ithaca Free Clinic and the Alliance at large. All services are provided by volunteers from the community, and that can be doctors, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, nurses, massage therapists, acupuncturists, chiropractic practitioners. All of our front-end administrative and clinical chores are handled by volunteers, a lot of them drawn from Cornell University and Ithaca University. Mm-hmm. We provide an occupational therapy program that's provided by the occupational therapy department up at Ithaca University. We have, let me go back to the figures that I just ran for 2018, we worked with 263 volunteers last year that provided over 16,000 hours.
Wow.
In volunteer activity to the clinic. And I could put that in a dollar amount, what the market value of that is according to the federal government. I'm just thrilled that those individuals bring their time and their talents and their skills to the clinic to serve the community and did so in terms of thousands of hours of their time. And it's just, it's a marvelous experience to watch our volunteers in action. And it's what gets me up every morning.
Oh, I'll bet. You know,
we have a very small staff. Actually, we're probably understaffed. Yet, if the staff didn't show up tomorrow, I'm absolutely certain that the clinic would still open, it would still operate. The men and women who walk through our doors would get the care that they needed, and life would go on. And sometimes I think we as staff members just get in the way. The volunteers really are the heart and soul of the Ithaca Free Clinic.
Well, what does the clinic do in regard to missing staff? You know, people want chiropractic help. Did you have to engage the community to get them to volunteer? Or are people coming to your door saying, I want to volunteer?
Sometimes we have people coming to our door wanting to volunteer. We're always actively scouting. We're always recruiting. We're always asking. Most of the people that I know who are physicians, if they see me coming down the street, they're ducking.
Oh, really?
I've already asked four or five times. And there's any number of reasons why an individual doesn't have the time to volunteer.
Oh, sure.
They're at a stage in their life where they have children or their job hours just won't permit it. We're very fortunate to have a medical community here in particular that does and is acclimated towards providing volunteers for the clinic. One of the great possibilities that are opening up for us is that the Cayuga Medical Center is starting their own residency program this year. And we were asked to be one of the possible rotation sites for incoming residents that would elect to work at the free clinic.
Wow. So
we're always looking. Anybody who would like to come down to tour the clinic, who's thinking about volunteering, ask a few questions, get shown around, we're happy to do that anytime. And most of our provider volunteers come in for a four-hour shift a month.
Uh-huh. Yep. Did you actually screen people and ask for qualifications? How do you deal with that?
Well, absolutely. We're members of the National Association of Free Clinics, and we also maintain malpractice insurance for everyone at no cost through the federal government. In order to be able to do that, though, we have to meet a stringent credentialing process or criteria for each of the medical providers that come on in particular.
Wow.
And that's a thorough, well, a thorough background check, check your credentials and so forth. It's pretty benign, pretty harmless. It's not terribly time consuming, but we make sure that everyone who comes into the clinic is vetted so that we know that they are who they say they are.
Yeah.
And we're providing the best care that we possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering, when people come in with specific needs, how do you delegate that? I mean, somebody isn't on call all the time. If somebody comes in with a broken leg, how do you deal with specific ailments?
Well, we have two walk-in clinics a week, Mondays from 2 to 6, and then Thursdays from 4 to 7. Most individuals who are coming in the clinic are coming in as a walk-in patient. That's first come, first serve.
Mm.
And we see as many individuals as we possibly can in an evening. Sometimes we can't see everyone. Most of the time we can.
Mm.
We very seldom see someone who's in a trauma condition like a broken leg because they're typically going to go to the ER. We're going to see a number of individuals who have your basic everyday ailments that come up. They have the flu, they have a fever, they have a rash. Something's not right in their life. And they'll come in and see one of our providers, and they'll get a wellness physical. They'll be going over their particular symptoms will be addressed. In some cases, if we discover someone may possibly be diabetic or have a COPD or some sort of chronic condition, we then will invite them into our chronic care program, which is a program that provides managed care for individuals who have chronic conditions.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Norb McCloskey. He is the executive director of the Ithaca Health Alliance, and we're talking about the Ithaca Free Clinic. I want to talk about the holistic services that you provide. I was surprised to hear that you have acupuncture and herbal medicines, and tell us about that. I had never heard that.
Well, we do. We have a medical track, and we have what we call our holistic or complementary healing modality track. Everyone works under one roof, and in the case of the chronic care program, both sides of that coin work together to bring combined healing services to the patients that are in the chronic care program. From the beginning, the Ithaca Free Clinic has always offered both types of healing modalities. Some folks with the clinic will claim that we were the first in the country to do this.
Mm.
To this day, some individuals will say we're only one of a handful, maybe three in the country, that have been able to successfully merge these two sides of the healing world together.
Yeah.
It is one of the things that makes us unique and sets us apart. And it provides us with the ability to offer patients who might not be responding to one particular type of treatment to look at the possibilities of trying something else. And then we track that. Then we collect data on that, and we look at that, and we're starting to build quite a file of data and outcomes where we can demonstrate now that someone with a particular malady that's being treated in the medical side also responds to something, say, on the holistic side, like acupuncture.
Mm.
And we can show that there has been a definite benefit. There's been a positive increase in an individual's health outcomes as a result of sort of putting their feet in both worlds.
I'll bet.
And
I'll bet.
Our holistic practitioners, most of them come from a background which is very scientifically driven. And so it meshes. It works really well. One of the things we're proudest of is we don't prescribe narcotics or keep narcotics on site.
Mm.
So in terms of pain management, we've had to look at alternative solutions. And then we found that the combination of some of the holistic modalities just provide tremendous pain management and pain relief abilities that you might not find anywhere else here in the area.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I would think there'd be a tug of war between traditional Western medicine providers and these alternative medicines and practices like acupuncture. How does that work? Because I know there was prejudice in the past about those kinds of things.
Well, I don't know if we have a tug of war. We may have some medical practitioners who begin to volunteer with us, and then after meeting everyone who's on staff, discover, well, maybe there is something here that we should look at.
Mm.
And on the other side, our holistic practitioners don't blink an eye. If they're working with someone and they go, this is something that is best handled in the medical world, they refer right back.
Mm.
So the patient is always at the forefront when we're discussing treatments. And what works best is what we're going to try to provide for the patient.
Yeah. That's what's so great about these kinds of clinics. It seems freer to explore, and it seems like you have more time to actually put into each patient.
Well, we do. You know, there is no time limit placed on any of the providers for how long they should spend with a patient.
Mm.
Because we're a nonprofit, because we don't take any payment for any of the services we provide, we're in a much better position to determine how we want to spend our time with our patients. So if a patient comes in and needs to spend an hour with the doctor or the nurse practitioner, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And I think that's absolutely essential. You know, we don't have a vast array of modern testing equipment or even access to large banks of testing services. So often it's the medical provider, the holistic provider, spending time and really just listening to the patient.
So real one-on-one.
Questions and then listening to the patient to determine what's really going on in a patient's life. And that seems to work pretty well for us.
Yeah. I think that's being lost in a lot of Western medicine.
Well, it is.
Quick, get people out of there quick. Tell me what's wrong.
It's the model that they have to work under.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of volunteers that come to us simply because they like to practice medicine outside of that particular arena. Or we'll have a volunteer who'll come on board because they don't want to lose their diagnostic skills because they found themselves in a position where they're not having that kind of one-on-one relationship with a patient and having to try to determine through the patient's history and how they present themselves what's going on here and how best to treat the patient.
Yeah. One of your services is community education. Tell us about that. Do you go out into the community and give talks, or how does that work?
Well, when I first came on board almost 3 years ago, we're going out. We were doing talks. We were in the community making presentations. As we grew our chronic care program, we retooled our educational component to provide stronger educational and coaching and mentoring services for our patients that are in that chronic care program.
Mm.
And then we go out and we'll share the results of what's going on in the chronic care program with the public. We also reach out to recruit patients for the chronic care program by going to a venue like Loaves and Fishes. And we'll be there to let folks know that who we are, what we do, that we can be trusted. And then we make sure that we bring along, because we have the capability of finding these resources and bringing them into the county, simple things like personal hygiene products or socks or hats or gloves for winter and whatnot. And so our outreach is gone towards providing opportunities to interact with the public in a way that provides them with an understanding of who we are and the services that they can access. Later on this year, we started this last year with a group from Cornell, and we're providing free kidney screenings in the community. Now we're looking at continuing that and doing diabetic screenings, blood pressure screenings. We want to make sure that our outreach and the education that we do in the community goes beyond simply handing out brochures or information. We want to provide people with the opportunity to learn more about their current health condition and then point them in the direction where they can find the best care for the symptoms that they may have.
Yeah, and then probably provide some people a way to get healthy.
Correct.
Because a lot of people don't know a lot about nutrition and exercise and, you know, the things that make one healthy. Well, the chronic care program, tell us what kinds of diseases that's treating. I always think of HIV and, you know, chronic things like
chronic
that.
Chronic things like that. Well, you know, we do work in partnership with the Arnett Health, and every Thursday morning, their IV clinic operates out of the clinic, and they provide tremendous HIV support services to members of our community. And if anybody has need of those types of services, give us a call and we'll hook you up with them. We see people who have high blood pressure, they're diabetic, they may have heart disease, they may have COPD, they may have Lyme's disease. There's a number of chronic conditions that exist. And the chronic care program was designed to provide individuals with a better understanding of their chronic condition and to be introduced to better ways to self-manage that condition. Well, what we found is a number of our patients were showing back up at the walk-in clinic on a pretty regular basis, often in an acute situation that was the result of not taking care of a certain chronic illness that they had in their lives. And many of the folks have more than one. What came out of that was the chronic care program. What if we designed a way to bring people in and have them come in and see someone on a regularly scheduled basis and teach them how to better self-manage their conditions? And it's just been a marvelous program. An extension of that program last year was what we call the food pharmacy. We track the health outcomes of all of our patients, and it's much easier to track those health outcomes with the folks that are in the chronic care program. And we discovered we weren't getting the health outcomes that we desired for some of the folks, and we asked them, what's not working for you? And the answer that came back was, we can't follow some of the dietary guidelines because we don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. We can't afford fresh fruits and vegetables. In some cases, it was, we can't keep food in the house because we don't have a working refrigerator. So we created what we call the food pharmacy, which is really an attempt to provide a food pantry, so to speak, of fresh fruits and vegetables, many of them organics, and other nutritional food items where our patients, when they're in for a monthly chronic care visit, can go back and help themselves to what they need based on the dietary suggestions that their providers have given them. It's been a fantastic program.
Oh, I'll bet. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that people do need help with how to eat.
Yes.
You know, we think it's some basic thing and it's provided somehow. But people do not know about nutrition. People don't know what they need to keep themselves healthy in regard to obesity and diabetes. And it's really quite amazing. So when you help them navigate the ideas of how to have a healthy life, can they also get food at food banks and other places if it's not provided?
They certainly can, and we make sure they have access to those resources. One of the things we're extremely good at the clinic is hooking people up with other resources and services that are available here in the community. We have a very active, what we call, patient advocacy program. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's referred to as the financial advocacy program, where we help individuals find those resources, and it can be anything from help with an abusive situation, to housing, to food pantries, to transportation, to how can we help you with the medical debt that you've accumulated. And we've been able to do some really good things for folks. So far this year, I believe we helped one individual eliminate $6,000 in medical debt. Another part of that advocacy program that I'm very happy and proud of is our ability to reach out and get critically needed medicine and prescription drugs for individuals who can't afford them, in particular insulin. We're pretty good at being able to pick up the phone and help a patient who can't afford his or her insulin to, say, get a year's supply for free.
Wow.
Now, you know.
That's been in the news, too, how exorbitant the prices have gone up.
It's terribly exorbitant, and a lot of people don't understand that even if you have insurance, insurance companies treat insulin differently than they do other prescription drugs.
Wow.
So we do a lot of things at the clinic that we probably don't advertise well, but has tremendous positive impact on individuals.
Is there any way to describe what a typical patient looks like? I mean, not physically, but I mean, what is the portrait of a typical patient that comes to the clinic?
Yeah, thank you for that, because sometimes individuals have misconceptions of who's using the free clinic. 85% of the folks that walk through our doors are adult men and women who are working, often at more than one job.
Mm.
They're in that group that is earning $16,800 or more a year and are really stuck. They work hard. They're trying to do all the right things, but they earn too much for any type of support with Medicaid. They're way too young for Medicare. And often their choice comes down to, do I pay the rent or do I get a health insurance premium for a policy that I can't afford to use anyway?
Wow.
And those are the folks coming through our doors. Many of them are between the ages of 25 and 45. Then we see another spike in folks in that 55 to 65 range coming in, because they're at that point in their lives where the health insurance companies are kind of nudging them off the rolls by, increasing their premiums when they can, or reducing coverage, because they know that folks that get into that age range are going to cost them money. And insurance companies, and I'm not saying that they're evil, I just want folks to understand that an insurance company makes money when they don't pay out.
Exactly.
All right? That's how it works. And they know when they're going to have to pay out. So the typical folks that are coming into our clinic are individuals who are hardworking members of our community who really have nowhere else to turn. We also see quite an international crowd that comes in because of both of the universities here that bring students in from around the world, bring contract workers in from around the world for any number of reasons, are bringing people into the community from somewhere else in the world.
Well, we are almost out of time, Norbert. Can you give some contact information, how people can get in touch with the clinic, make appointments, and so on?
Well, absolutely. Look, one of the best places to start is our website, which is at www.ithacahealth.org. The office phone number is area code 607-330-1253. You can email for information at clinic@ithacahealth.org. And feel free to email me, and that's executive director@ithacahealth.org.
Well, great. Norbert McCloskey, thank you so much for joining us. This is a great service to our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.